Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. So everyone's invited to go over and, wow. Are we going to do this every 80 years? Oh, my, my, my. Okay. I need to mention something to you. Saturday night or Saturday sometime, turn your clocks up. Okay. This weekend is when we go into fast time. And everyone that's here, I'd like for you to come out Sunday morning. It's a good time to just make new commitments to yourself, to God. Be in the house of God. Need to be in the house of God. We live in strange times, folks. And we need the fellowship of one another. Any other announcements need to make, Mark? Okay, for those young people and such, teens, children, it's going to be in class. We're going to dismiss a little bit early, okay? We're motivated here tonight. So we're going to let the young people go. Hallelujah. Appreciate all these young people being here. Well, my friend Dave Irwin, I am not as old as you are. Well, you have seniority on me. 10 million years from now in heaven, you'll still have seniority, Brother Dave. It won't be a couple of weeks, but it'll be seniority. Oh, glory. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to have everyone here. It's good to know Jesus above everything else. And the answer to his question is in a couple of days. In 2 days from now and 3 days from now, I will be 80 years old. I say 3 days because I've always celebrated my birthday on the 12th until I got a passport. And my birth certificate said it was the 13th. I told my mom that, and she said it was the 12th. Her words were this: I was there, and I ought to know. So we got that straightened out. Doesn't matter what passport says or birth certificate. My birthday was on the 12th, she said. So I'll go along with that. Life is full of twists and turns, isn't it? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Father, that we can gather together here in your house. And thank you, Lord, that we can have fellowship. And, Lord, that we can sing praises to you. We can worship you, Lord God, and just give you praise. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for friends here, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And, Father God, I ask you to help us as we look to the Word here for a few moments, Lord God, because there's nothing in all of our lives as important as the Word of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want to point something out to you. In Hebrews chapter 1, Brother Jim, towards the end of the chapter, actually, at the end of the chapter. The author of Hebrews is writing to point out that this man Jesus is not to be compared with any other. That he's greater than Moses, all of Moses' house, all that Moses ever made. He's greater than the temple of God. He's greater than Solomon. And there were even people in his day that worshipped angels. And he says that Jesus is even greater than angels. And in fact, he says in the last verse of Hebrews chapter 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the author of Hebrews says, angels aren't to be compared with Jesus. Are they not all ministering spirits? They were sent forth. They are here by command from God to minister to people who are going to be following God. Now, I'd like for you to go to the book of 1 John, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but back toward Revelation, 1 John. And chapter 3. I'm thinking about our time of fellowship, and so I'm trying to cut through here. In chapter 3, verse 11, he says, "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Now, where we're going to go here is that the greatest message in all the Word of God, we're going to look at that, and we're going to show that the greatest sign that this message is taking effect is that he says here, you've heard the message from the beginning in verse 11, that we should love one another. Then in verse 18 of chapter 3, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." We know we're of the truth. And John reiterates this over and over. The truth, the truth, the truth. He says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. That whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And we're going to find that the commandments that he has is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, and others as ourselves. This is his commandment, that we should, now get this, we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. So, John, who was loved of Jesus like none other, John, who was beside Jesus there at the Last Supper, John, who was really the only one that didn't bail out at the time that they took Jesus captive and such. So John says, this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 24, "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, or we dwell in Christ and Christ his Son. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So we've been talking about the Spirit and how important it is, folks. Please, we must, in these last days, we must learn to walk in the spirit realm and not in the secular, natural realm. We've got to realize, hey, this secular thing is all going to crash before long, okay? There's coming a time when it's all going to, well, Revelation says, alas, so much has fallen in 1 hour. And so it's coming. Don't get your hopes built in the secular life, the material life. Be focused on the spiritual realm. Study the Word. Find out what God wants us to do. How do I know what God wants us to do? Study Jesus, what he said and what he directs us to. Now consider this, if you would, in chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved," now get this, "believe not every spirit." Believe not every spirit. Well, what he's talking about is the spirits that influence our lives. You see, angels, all angels are given to be ministering spirits to those who should be heirs of salvation. We read that in Hebrews. Angels, here we're talking about guardian angels. Scripture says we have angels guarding us. Those that are his children, he gives us angels. There are literally angels watching over his children all the time. And children, I don't mean by age. I'm talking about by being born again in Christ. There are angels there to minister all the time. But those angels who have fallen, they are ministering spirits too. But they want to minister where they mislead you. He says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit." Now, angels influence us. Angels are there to encourage us. When Jesus went to Garden of Gethsemane, remember, he asked the disciples to come with him, and then he told them to wait there and pray, and then he took Peter, James, and John a little bit further, told them to pray, and he goes to pray, and, you know, he comes back and finds them sleeping, and he said, "What, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" And the scripture says angels came and ministered to him. angels came from heaven and ministered to Jesus. And he sweat as were great drops of blood. What were angels doing? Angels were coming to encourage him, so to speak. Cheerleaders, you know, to encourage him to do what God wants him to do. Because the enemy is trying to discourage him from doing what he should do. There are devils, folks, okay? Jesus dealt with them in his day, and we haven't gotten fewer of them, okay? So the enemy wants to influence you to not do what God wants you to do. That is true for little children, and is true for great-great-great-great-grandparents. The enemy wants to play with your mind and your soul and your spirit. And so he says, don't believe every influence on your life. He says, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Now, we'll cut to the chase here. How do you try the spirits? Number one is by the Word of God. We try the spirits by the Word, the Scripture says. Try the Spirit by the Word of God. It's not the other way around. You say, well, I feel like... How we feel is not all that important compared to the Word of God. So if we feel like the Lord is directing us by His Spirit to go in a certain direction or do certain things or whatever, if we can't confirm it in the Word, we need to be really careful about it. It may not be God, because we are to try the Spirit by the Word. Okay, we try the Spirit by the Word, because the Word is unchangeable. Stick with me here for just a moment, really. He says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Last part of verse 6. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. There is a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. And then he tells him, beloved, let us love one another. And he says that is how we know whether or not we have his spirit, is if we love one another. And so he said, we need to try this. We need to see whether or not we're on the right track by those who are encouraging us, that voice, that drawing in you that's saying to do this or whatever, does it measure up with the Word? And if it doesn't, be careful what you follow. You know, the Scripture tells us, folks, Old Testament, New Testament, in the last days, there's going to be, as we read here, false prophets. There's going to be Antichrist, plural. And we can count on that. In fact, John says, there's Antichrist here now. Paul says the same thing. Antichrist is not, I'm not talking about the Antichrist. I'm talking about, he calls them Antichrist because they do not support the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. That he was divine, he was God and man. And now, this is really important, folks. Because, see, Jesus was not just a man, he was God and man. Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God, very God. God. God who spoke everything into existence. God who knows all things, all powerful, all wise. God. That God, the only God, he caused Jesus to be conceived. Is that not right? You with me? Mary said, how can these things be? I don't know, man. And he said, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. The power of the Spirit, he says. And you're going to be expecting a boy. And so this boy was God's only son, because he never had another one. So this boy, Jesus, he was both God and man. So he did not have sin. That's why he could die for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God. You with me? So this man Jesus, who learned obedience from his parents, Scripture says. He grew up from a little boy to a man. When he went to the cross, he was without sin. When they took him down, he became the biggest sinner there ever was. He took all our sins. And he was the only one who ever lived that could do that. He was that Lamb of God that John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And so Jesus died for our sins. So, he also resurrected, friend. He resurrected. Do you believe, first of all, that Jesus was conceived by very God, and that this young lady, Mary, carried this Son of God, offspring of God, in her womb and gave birth to him? Can you buy that? Okay, and he was without sin. He was without sin. He did not sin while he lived. And when he died, he took our sins, the sins of everyone who ever lived. People that don't even know they ever lived. Every person, all sin that all the demons of hell could bring upon man, he overcame that. And he took our sins on himself. And he told the world, so to speak. He says, "You kill me in 3 days, I'll come out of the grave." That's pretty plain. What he meant was what he said. And in 3 days he did. He resurrected. And not only that, but he ascended into the heavens. And he said that he would come back. And he will. But I ask you, do you believe that this historic person that really lived, that was the son of a carpenter, do you believe that he was born of God? And that he resurrected after having been slain on the cross? And that he resurrected and he ascended into heaven and liveth to make intercession for you? Do you believe that? Now he says here, friend, he says, In verse 2, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, over and over you're going to find in this, we don't have time for it because we have food on our mind. Just kidding. But seriously, I would love for you to search this out. Maybe we'll get back into it later. But this is called, in 2 John, it's called the doctrine of Christ. And in fact, just turn a page towards Revelation. And let's see, in 2 John in verse 9, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Now he's talking about the doctrine of God being who Jesus is. In verse 7 of this letter of John, he said, "Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. So what this doctrine of Christ is, that you believe, just what I've told you, he was conceived by Spirit God, by God, carried in the womb by a human being lady, who, by the way, could trace her lineage to David, as the word says, and the legal father also was a son of David. But can we buy that? Can you believe that? He said, if you don't believe that, you cannot have eternal life. Now, let me share this with you. To believe is not just to think that it's true. To believe is to attach yourself to it. You're going to walk in that. It's not that you're going to be a perfect person, but your life is going to be that you are going to walk through your life making decisions, asking him to help you make decisions, guide your life, guide your family in the fact that this man, Jesus, was God and his words are true. You read in the Gospels, for instance, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what he said is true. It is true. He was God. And so you believe that Jesus, the Christ, was the Son of God. He said, you believe that, you can have eternal life. Now, that's not automatic. It doesn't mean just because you assent that, yeah, I figured this out and that's true. No, that you believe it, that you will walk in that. You will live that. Because, see, if you believe that, you'll be the first one to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, which is what gets you into heaven. But you will walk in this. What he says, he says concerning this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. You can trust me in anything because I will always be there. See, and so we make our decisions in life, how we raise our children, who we have for a husband or wife, who we encourage our children to get married to, what kind of a business we have, how we run our business, how we run our home, how we do whatever we do it by the dictates of the Word of God because we believe that Jesus was born of God and he lived and then he died and took our sins on himself and resurrected. And so he says, if you don't believe this, you can't have eternal life. You might say, well, you know, I've been really good. Well, okay, that's great, but that's not what gets you to heaven. Believing who he is and walking in that. So John says, this is a commandment that he gave us, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you love one another. And if you don't love one another, you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hello? Because he loved everyone. He said to those at the foot of the cross who were killing him and calling him a liar, a blasphemer, and that he'd done the work of the devil, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so he challenges us. He challenges us, folks, to believe who he is. It's what I said, that he was born of God. To believe that he was born of God and that we walk in that. Not that you're perfect, but you ask him to help you to live according to what God would do. Godliness. Godliness is doing what God would do. And how do we know? We know by what Jesus does and what he says. Because he was God. Jesus was God. all spirit that was in him was God. Okay? You have a spirit in you that brings life to you, and it came from your dad. But the spirit that was in Jesus was God. It came from his father, too. And friend, can we believe that today? You read through this of 1 John, and you find over and over, and you find it in the Gospel of John, to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. To believe it, to receive it, to walk in it. He was not just a child born in a manger. He was in the mind of God before Adam was ever made. And we have the privilege, folks, we have the privilege of him being our Lord and our Savior. If you ask him to forgive you of your sins, John said, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Isn't that pretty neat? Now, he didn't say you had to do anything. Okay? He didn't say, well, you got to be good for 3 weeks. Well, if that was the case, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? He didn't say we had to meet a bunch of rules to believe. That's why it's called grace, folks. That's why it's called grace. I want to thank every person for being here. I really do. I really do want to encourage you to be here Sunday morning. And it's going to be early because you're going to turn your clocks up. But let's get in the routine. I say this to those who are streaming of being together, fellowship with one another, because God's got a lot of things he wants to take place in these closing hours of time. I'd like for you to stand together with me. And let's see, this watch says, Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have prayer. And then